Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabham Girivaran Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabham Girivaran Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaran Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaran Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj. Jai Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Star Sato Sri Sri Nadi Savanze Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Niki Jai Iskand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Naam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sukhoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Dwarka Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru Angaranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 10, Dhruva Maharaj's fight with the Yakshas. Today we're reading texts 2, 3, and 4. So I'll read the first two and then we can chant 4 together. I think it's 4 that's on the board. Yeah. Okay. So text 2. Ilyamapi Baryayam Vayoputra Mahabalaha Putram Utkala Namanam Yoshidratnamajijanat. Translation: the greatly powerful Dhruva Maharaj had another wife named Ila, who was the daughter of the demigod Vayu. By her he begot a son named Utkala and a very beautiful daughter. Text 3. Uttamastvatkritodvaho mrigayayam baliyasa hattapunya janenad drau tan matasya gatim gata. Translation: Dhruva Maharaja's younger brother Uttama, who was still unmarried, once went on a hunting excursion and was killed by a powerful yaksha in the Himalaya mountains. Along with him, his mother, Suruchi, also followed the path of her son. In other words, she died. So text 4. Dhruvo Pratri Vadam Shutva Kopamarsha Suchar Pitaha Jaitram Syandanam Astaya Gata Punya Janalayam. Dhruva Bratra Vadham Shrutva Kopamarsha Sucharpitaha Jaitram Syandanam Astaya Gatapunya Janalayam. Dhruva Bratra Vadham Shrutva Kopa Marsha Sucharpitaha Jaitram Syandanam Astaya Katapunya Janalayam. Dhruvo Bratri Vedham Shutva Kopa Marsha Shucharpitaha Jetram Syandanam Astayo Katapunya Janalayam Dhruvo Bratri Vedham Shutva Kopa Marsha Shucharpitaha Jetram Syandanam Astaya Katapunya Janalayam Trilo Rachivadam Shutva Mamasa Sarinam Jetram Syandanam Astaya Chanardanam Dhruva Vracha Vidam Sutva Vasati Satida Dajam Shandana Vastaya Vasayam Dhruva Vidam Sutva Ashram Sutarpida Ajamanjana Vastaya Jajanavayam Lava Pratita Shutva Amasam Sutarpida Ajam Sandana Vastaya Jivalaprachivadamshutva Gapamarshasucharpita Tacham sandhanamastaya Tachapunyachanalaya. Ladies, Jiva Bhachim Sharam Shutva Upa Marsha Sucharpita Ahtam Sandana Vastaya Bhachim Sharam Shutva Upa Marsha Sucharpita Sandana Mastaya Achamya Sharaya Vajeshwaram Shutva Kapamasa Sucharpita Sandana Mastaya Juvaha, Juva Maharaj, Bratrivadham, the killing of his brother. Shrutva, hearing the news. Kopa, anger. Amarsha, vengeance. Shucha, lamentation. Arpitaha, being filled with. Jetram, victorious. Syandanam, chariot. Astaya, getting on. Gataha, went. Punya Janalayam, to the city of the Yakshas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When Dhruva Maharaj heard of the killing of his brother Uttama by the Yakshas in the Himalaya mountains, being overwhelmed with lamentation and anger, he got on his chariot and went out for victory over the city of the Yakshas, Alakapuri. Purport. Madhurva Maharaj is becoming angry, overwhelmed with grief, and envious of the enemies was not incompatible with his position as a great devotee. It is a misunderstanding that a devotee should not be angry, envious, or overwhelmed by lamentation. Dhruva Maharaj was the king, and when his brother was unceremoniously killed, it was his duty to take revenge against the Yakshas from the Himalayas. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is a misunderstanding, Srila Prabhupada says, that a devotee should not be angry, envious, or overwhelmed by lamentation. So, why are you all just sitting there? Let's see some anger, envy, and lamentation. In one sense, anger, lamentation and envy are bad things, and then in another sense, they're not. So it can seem confusing sometimes, you know, when it's proper to be angry, when it's proper to lament, you know, when it's proper to be envious, and when it's not. I mean, normally, you know, anger is considered to be a sign that one is not very spiritually advanced, one has lost control of one's mind and senses. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava, Mahashano, Mahapapma, Vidyenam, Ihavairinam. So, this krodha, you know, anger, you know, it comes from kama, lust. It's not a very good thing. So, kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava, it comes from the mode of passion originally. You know, so, this kama comes from the kama or lust comes from the mode of passion, and when it's frustrated, it degrades to the tamaguna, the mode of ignorance, the symptom of which is anger. And then mahashano, it's all devouring. It just consumes all one's good qualities. You know, if one becomes a victim of anger in this sense. Mahapapma, it's very sinful, causes one to engage in sinful activities. Vidyenam ihavairinam, it's considered to be the enemy, you know, of the soul. You know, this anger, this feeling of anger. So psychologically, we do see this. For example, you can see with young children, you know, they tend to be more expressive. If they want something and they can't get it, in many cases they become angry. It's very visible. Become very frustrated and angry if they want something and can't get it. And as we become older, we are kind of socialized to, you know, repress, you know, the anger, you know, that we may feel. You know, we may develop different ways of coping with it, but you know, sometimes it just overwhelms all of our means for coping with it, and we find ourselves saying or doing something that is harmful to ourselves and others. It's a very powerful emotion, this anger. It's very destructive. It's like we can see so many manifestations of anger, on the individual level and on the social level. It results in huge wars and social conflicts. It's on the individual level, it can result in very destructive behavior among family members, husband, wife, children. So it's something that according to one understanding is very bad, for spiritual life, to be angry. On the other hand, we learn that everything in this material world is a reflection of some existing reality in the spiritual world. So there's anger in this world because there's a kind of anger in the spiritual world. So, what's the difference? The difference is that in material consciousness, one becomes angry because one's own desires for sense gratification are interrupted or frustrated by something or someone. And then one becomes angry out of selfishness. However, our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, tell us that there is a kind of anger on the spiritual level as well. One could become angry on behalf of Krishna or in connection with Krishna. And actually, on the very, very highest levels of, prema, there's a kind of, anger that, sometimes, Radharani or the gopis feel towards Krishna. it's sort of a, an aspect of their love for Krishna that, more or less adds some spice, you might say, to their loving exchanges with Krishna. Krishna likes it. It increases their love and it's appreciated because, it's part of increasing, one's love for Krishna. So there is on the very highest level, a kind of, transcendental anger called mana, that Radharani experiences sometimes. On our level, however, there is a way to dovetail and purify the feelings of anger that we may have. But here again, it has to be done carefully. One can become angry with the atheist or the Mayavadis. Then again, it can't manifest in a harmful way. Because there's a description of devotional service in the different modes of nature. There can be pure devotional service, but there can also be devotional service contaminated with the modes of nature. And in the descriptions of devotional service in the mode of ignorance, tamaguna, it says it's characterized by a devotee being angry, envious, things like that. It's not considered a good thing. Actually, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada says one should avoid you know, devotees like that, because their anger is still selfish. But it is possible for those on the path of pure devotional service to display, you know, anger, you know, occasionally when it's called for. You know, for example, if devotees or Krishna is attacked or blasphemed, then, you know, a devotee can feel, rightly feel, some sense of anger. And then and that anger can be an inspiration, you know, to defend very vigorously Krishna's reputation, the devotee's reputation, like that. So, then there's lamentation. Normally, you know, devotees are supposed to be freed from lamentation. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, na sochati, na kankshati. Devotees are supposed to be freed, you know, from lamentation and desire. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says in several places that lamentation is the characteristic of a sudra. And sudra is always lamenting. Because, Srila Prabhupada explains, sudra, somebody who doesn't have very advanced knowledge, is always doing something whimsically. It's always whimsically doing something. And, of course, when you whimsically do something, you're going to get some bad result. So they do something and then they lament. And they're always lamenting. You know, why can't it be like this? Why can't it be like that? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? You know, they're always lamenting, lamenting, lamenting. So this is the characteristic of sudra. And Srila Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga, Kalau Sudra Sambhavat, most people are in that mentality. So therefore we see, you know, so many protest movements, protesting this, protesting that. So many protest movements, but no real solutions to anything. You know, so people are always lamenting, protesting, pointing out, you know, fault finding. This is the mentality of the sudras. But they can come to no real solution because they have no knowledge. So, it's, you know, this kind of lamentation is not a good thing. You know, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, at first, you know, Arjuna, he was lamenting his situation, and Krishna was criticizing him for, you know, being in that lamenting mood. You know, this is not befitting you. You know, so, great Kshatriya, you know, that you should be lamenting like this. So normally, it's not considered a good thing to be absorbed in lamentation and grief. However, just as in the case of anger, lamentation, material lamentation, is a reflection of a spiritual reality, a kind of spiritual lamentation. And we can kind of see this in the life of, you know, Ishvara Puri. So today's the disappearance day of Ishvara Puri, who was a great devotee, a great Vaishnava, who played the role of the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ishvara Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, another great Vaishnava, Acharya. And in his last days, Madhavendra Puri, you know, went into seclusion, and he was just with some of his disciple servants. You know, one of them was Ishvara Puri, and another was Ramachandra Puri. So Ishvarapuri adopted the mood of a humble servant. He simply served Madhavendra Puri in his last days. And he was such a humble servant that he would he would take care of all the bodily necessities of Madhavendra Puri, even, personally cleaning, his stool and urine. Whereas this other disciple, Ramachandra Puri, took another position. During his last days, Madhavendra Puri was manifesting symptoms of ecstasy. He was feeling great, separation from Krishna and from everything connected with Krishna. And he was chanting verses, the translation of which were, I have not attained Mathura, I have not attained your lotus feet. And he was lamenting. So this Ramachandra Puri could not understand, the exalted position of his own spiritual master. So he thought it was his service to instruct, his spiritual master. He's saying, why are you lamenting? you are supposed to be absorbed in Brahman. Brahma Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nasochati. Nasochati, you shouldn't be lamenting. So just please absorb yourself in Brahman. And Madhavendra Puri said, oh boy, how cursed I am. this fool is going to instruct me on Brahman. When actually, it's appropriate for a devotee to feel fallen, to feel that one has not achieved Goloka, Mathura, the lotus feet of Krishna. These are actually signs of ecstasy. And even if we're not on the position of pure spontaneous love of God, and we're not able to feel that sort of thing, still, Srila Prabhupada said it's very healthy for a devotee to lament his past impious activities. That's very healthy. Or if we commit some offense, we should lament that. Or if we have a good estimation of our position in devotional service, we should lament that we're not better servants. So there is a kind of lamentation that is appropriate for a devotee, and then there's other kinds of lamentation that aren't appropriate. And then envy. So in English, the English word envy has kind of an interesting derivation. It's similar to the word invidious. It has two things in it. The comes from videre, means to see or to look upon someone. And in usually has a negative meaning. Like we say somebody's insane, it means they're not sane, or it means something negative. So the original root of the word in English, anyways, it means to look upon somebody else with malice. Give them the evil eye, sort of. And, sometimes we see that. We may even feel ourselves, glancing with malice, or contempt, upon, somebody or someone. It happens. So this word, envy, it can have several meanings. One just means to be hostile or malicious or hateful or spiteful, towards someone. I mean, without reason, really. It's just like a snake, Srila Prabhupada says, as part of Indian folklore. Snakes are just naturally malicious, towards others. I mean, without even any reason, you know, they'll strike. So that's one meaning of being envious, that we just hate or despise or have really malicious feelings, you know, towards another living entity. And there's one, you know, definition where Srila Prabhupada describes, says, gives a description of that kind of envy. It says, just like people in this world, they kill the cows. And so that's envy. You know, that you kill another innocent living thing, you know, just out for no good reason. I mean, just to kill it, eat it. It's a manifestation of envy. And then another meaning of the word, you know, envy is to have malicious feelings towards someone because they possess some quality or something, you know, that you think you deserve more than they do. So we may be envious towards somebody because of their position, because of their wealth, because of their beauty, because of their knowledge. You know, there's so many reasons, you know, to become envious of others. And one of the Sanskrit words for envy is, you know, dvesha. It's envy. And that's one of our reasons for being here in the material world. Icha dvesha. Samutena dvandva mohena bharata. Sarvabhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa. Yeah, we're here because we become envious of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that many times. Devotees would ask, why are we here? He says, yes, because we misused our free will. We became envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This envy can manifest towards God. It can manifest towards other living entities. And Krishna says one can even become envious of oneself. Now that may seem strange. You know, how is it that one can become envious of oneself? When we become envious of someone, one politician becomes envious of another politician, then he wants to sabotage, you know, the career of that politician, you know, wants to prevent him from attaining his goals, his programs, his winning the election or whatever. Sometimes this happens in the world of sports. You know, there was a famous case years ago where there was, you know, two ice skaters, ladies, and one became envious of the other, and she broke the other skater's leg, you know. I mean, just, you know, to prevent her, you know, from achieving her goals and winning and getting the acclaim of people. So it's sort of like that when we become envious of ourselves spiritually. Because the soul is meant to love Krishna. And say if we're on the path of devotional service and we see the soul's awakening its love for Krishna again, then out of false ego, we may become envious of our own selves, and then we try to sabotage, you know, out of false ego, falsely identifying with our own material conception of ourselves, we may try to sabotage that little spark of Krishna consciousness that begins developing in the real self, the soul. So we become envious of our real self and try to sabotage it any way we can. So we can become envious of ourselves. We can become envious of others. We can become envious of Krishna. And that's why we're here. But then again, this envy, this material envy, is a reflection of a genuine spiritual emotion. You know, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, there's envy in the spiritual world. Devotees were a little bit shocked, you know, so he said, well, you can't expect, he wrote to one devotee, you can't expect a utopia anywhere, even in the spiritual world. He said, there's envy, there's lamentation, all the anger, these things are there in the spiritual world as well, but they're all centered on Krishna. And enhancing love for Krishna. So just like one gopi may see another gopi serving Krishna very nicely and then feel, yes, well, I would like to serve Krishna like that. I wish I could be such a nice servant of Krishna. And even here in this world, I mean, what to speak of, you know, in those highest levels of devotional service, you know, there's a kind of, you know, envy that we can feel towards, you know, other devotees. Srila Prabhupada even encouraged it. He encouraged, you know, competition, a kind of envy, you know, among, you know, he's encouraging his disciples to envy those who are more successful in their devotional service somehow or other. You know, for example, in book distribution, he encouraged a kind of transcendental competition, transcendental, you know, envy. He said, without this competition, there's no progress. Everybody just remains weak. He said that the competition, it encourages devotees to become stronger in their service to Krishna. And that's actually good. You know, it's a good thing. Of course, you know, it has to be done in the proper spirit as well. You know, there may be competition. But that means the winners have to be good winners, and the, you know, those who are not as successful have to be also good. It's like in a sports. You know, there's competition. You know, to become the best skater or something like that. So, you know, you'll see if somebody wins, then, you know, they're a little bit humble, they're thankful somehow or other. And if somebody loses, well, they don't be. In other words, if the winners are lording it over the people who lost or didn't achieve as greatly, aha, you know, so I showed you and I put you down. And, you know, that doesn't look very good. You know, if somebody's a gracious winner, then people appreciate. The same with losers. If somebody loses a competition or doesn't do as well as someone else, but they think, well, there's always next year, you know, I did as best I can, you know, I'm just, you know, so there's a kind of, you know, transcendental, you know, envy that can be allowed. So Srila Prabhupada says here, it is a misunderstanding that a devotee should not be angry or envious or overwhelmed by lamentation. Anybody have any comments? Questions? Okay. Dravida.
Because of the false ego. Now, in the... Hare Krishna. What about... is there any relationship between that? And we have some in psychological, you know, circles... multiple personality disorder, where you have different personalities fighting with each other to be prominent. It seems like this is almost an endemic thing, that we have a real personality, but it's been taken over by a false ego, and we're like somebody else. So you know, envious of ourselves. Well, there has to be someone else who's envious of us. And is that a right thing, or is there some relation there? What do you think?
Well, that's why I mentioned false ego, because you have to say, well, what's the real self and what's the false self? So that's why I mentioned, you know, false, you know, ego, that we have a false conception of ourselves, you know, perhaps as somebody who could succeed materially and satisfy all kinds of material desires, and then we see that, there's this other, you know, aspect of ourself that is trying to make progress in devotional service, and even is waking up, and it can, you know, we can dislike that in a sense. Ah, you'll never do it. You'll never succeed. Forget it. You know, it's too tough. You know, it's, you know, just like an envious person who's envious of a, you know, up in, you know, say in a sports competition. Ah, you'll never beat me. Go home. You know, forget it. You know, so anyway, so that's how I was looking at it. And that's why I mentioned the false ego, the false self, because we do have a, you know, false self, and then there's a real self.
It's like the false ego personality feels threatened and wants to, you know, fight back.
Well, yeah, the opportunities for satisfying the kinds of desires that the false self has would certainly seem to be threatened. But Krishna's there. Krishna's there, you know, as the super soul to help us fight that battle. But we have to be willing. You know, I mean, that's, you know, like the position of Arjuna. I mean, Krishna's doing everything possible to help, but then Krishna says, finally, it's up to you. I've explained everything. You know, now do as you like. You know, so we always have the free will to either go with the real self or the false self. You know, okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.